Well, I am obviously not Father Wes Gristie. He and his family are away on vacation this week. My name is Father Drew Haltom, and I'm a church planter in Memphis, Tennessee, in Midtown Memphis, helping to plant Church of the Incarnation. Church of the Incarnation is one of the church plants that you all support with your finances and with your prayers. And so I just want to give a greeting from our church plant and say thank you. The Lord is at work. Our official launch as a church in Memphis was almost 2 years ago, and God has been at work gathering people and raising up disciples in Jesus. It's been such a joy to be a part of, so thank you for being a part of that work in Midtown Memphis. Thank you for your financial giving. Thank you for your prayers, and would ask that you would continue to please pray for us as well. In our church plant this summer, I've had people ask me this morning already, well, who's filling in for you? We meet on Sunday afternoons. So after this service, I'll head back to Memphis and get to worship again, which is great. In our church plant this summer, we have a sermon series called Summer in the Psalms, where we're focusing in on our psalm for the day. So this morning, we're looking together at Psalm 139. This is one of my favorite psalms in the entire Psalter. I think that it speaks so powerfully to humans in every age, but I think that it's especially relevant right now. This psalm, Psalm 139, is all about being seen and being known. These are fundamental human needs that we all share. Dr. Kurt Thompson says this so beautifully and so truly. He says, "We all are born into the world looking for someone looking for us." We all are born into the world looking for someone looking for us. But early in the story of the Bible, we encounter a problem that still haunts us today. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, in their guilt and shame, hide from the Lord. They hide from the Lord. And in today's busy, digital, restless, AI-driven sort of world, I think we are increasingly excellent at hiding. We are connected nowadays with more people than we ever have been before, but most of those connections are shallow and superficial. So it's not surprising that you hear the CDC talking about a crisis of loneliness that we are experiencing in our country. And underneath this loneliness is an ache to be seen, to be known, and to be loved. And these are all things that David, the psalmist, is wrestling with here in Psalm 139. So let's look at this psalm, and along the way, I want to show you three important characteristics about God that we see here that all start with the letter O. So I hope you can remember them. Three characteristics about God that all start with the letter O. First, in verses 1 through 6, we see that God is omniscient. It's a big word. God is omniscient, which means that God is all-knowing. Verse 6 says about God's divine knowledge, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." And the prophet Isaiah says elsewhere that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God's knowledge is infinite. His divine knowledge is infinite, which means that his knowledge of you is infinite. God knows you fully, completely, deeply, intimately. God's knowledge of you is infinite. Verse 1. "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar." God knows your coming and your going. He knows what's out in the open for all to see, and he knows what you keep hidden for no one to see. Consider the very beautiful and also quite terrifying words that we pray together at the beginning of every Eucharist service. In our Collect for Purity, we pray, "Almighty God, To you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. God is omniscient. This means he knows your thoughts, he knows your secrets, he knows your deepest desires and longings. Which, if we're honest, might be a little bit terrifying. Which maybe is what's behind the cry of the psalmist in verse 7. The psalmist declares, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" When we're faced with the reality of being fully known, laid bare before the Lord, our human instinct is to run and to hide. But we see a second truth about God in verses 7 through 12, that God is omnipresent. So he's omniscient and he's omnipresent, which means that God's presence is without limit. He is not bound by time and space like we humans are. God is everywhere present all the time. God is everywhere present all the time. Verse 8, "If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths in Sheol, you are there. In the realm of the living, there God is. In the realm of the grave, God is there. In light, God is there. In darkness, God is there." In Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of the Bible called The Message, I like how he captures this sentiment. This is how he translates this passage. "I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead and you're there too." Listen to this. "Your reassuring presence coming and going." Your reassuring presence coming and going. Because while God's omniscience and God's omnipresence can be quite terrifying, do you sense the mood of the psalmist here? The psalmist's mood is one of comfort and peace. For him, God's presence is not a threat. It is reassuring. Again, Eugene Peterson says, "Your reassuring presence coming and going." How? Why is this the case for David, the psalmist? This is such good news because God's omnipresence, that God is everywhere present all the time, means that you are never abandoned. You're never alone. Do you get that? Do you really get that? You are never abandoned. In life's highest and most joyous moments, God is there with you. And in life's most difficult, darkest seasons, God is there with you too. The God who knows you fully is with you always. And for King David, this is not terrifying news. It's good news. And it's good news because of our last O word. So God is omniscient, God is omnipresent, and lastly, God is omnibenevolent. I want you to remember these three words: omniscient, omnipresent, and omnibenevolent. Omnibenevolent means that God is infinitely good. He is infinitely loving. We see God's love on display in verse 13. The psalmist says, "You created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Listen to this. God created you, and God delights in you. God is omnibenevolent. His goodness, his kindness, his mercy, his love is infinite. God delights in you. So I have two children. My son Graham is 11 years old. My daughter Jude is 9 years old. And I remember the overwhelming feeling that I experienced the moment that they were born, this overwhelming feeling of love and delight and adoration. I know that preachers are prone to exaggerate. And I am not exaggerating here when I say that this was the most overwhelming experience I've had in my entire life. And so I've been considering this week, meditating on this psalm, if an imperfect father like me delights in his children like this, how much more does your heavenly Father delight in you? God is omnibenevolent. He delights in you. Before you were born, God knew you. God loved you. God knit you together in your mother's womb. He delights in you. God is omniscient, he is omnipresent, and he is omnibenevolent. This is the healing balm that we need for this deep ache of loneliness that we all feel. God knows you fully, and he loves you completely. God knows you fully, and he loves you completely. Let's ponder some really good, wise words from Pastor Timothy Keller that he wrote. There's about a paragraph. It's so good and so rich. Here's what he says. To be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. It's that shallow connection that we all have with so many people nowadays. To be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. We think if they really knew this about me, would they really still love me? It's a shallow, it's a superficial love. Tim Keller goes on to say, to be known and not loved is our greatest fear. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. This is the reason that we all hide. This great fear that we have that if I really show someone my true self, what if they reject me? What if they abandon me? To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. He writes, but to be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God. It is what we need more than anything. It liberates us from pretense, humbles us out of our self-righteousness, and fortifies us for any difficulty life can throw at us. If we're truly known and completely loved, we don't have to hide anymore. We don't have to deceive. We don't have to work and labor to appear more holy than we really are. We can let down our guard, put down our defenses, and actually experience real connection, real belonging, real love, what our hearts are aching for. These days in our culture, there's a lot of talk about this sort of deep connection. One of the most viewed TED Talks of all time is Brené Brown's TED Talk called The Power of Vulnerability. There's a lot of talk about this sort of deep connection, and I think that this shows this ache that our culture has, that our culture knows something is missing. But Psalm 139, the whole of Scripture, and also my own experience shows me this, that the deep connecting, the deep belonging, the true love that we are all aching for can only be found in God through Jesus Christ. Only God is omniscient. Only God knows you fully and perfectly, knows you even better than you know yourself. Only God is omnipresent. Only God sees the pretenses you put up, the self-righteousness you wear, the shame that you try to hide, and only God is omnibenevolent. God knows you, he's with you, and he loves you completely. Remember Genesis chapter 3, the problem that still haunts us. Adam and Eve, they hid from God in their guilt and shame. And all of us humans, we've been hiding ever since. But the good news of Jesus is that God meets us in our hiding. God comes to find us. God does not remain distant. God has come near to us in the person of Jesus. He comes searching for you. We don't find God. God finds us. In your darkness, the light shines. Into your lowest depths, Christ himself descends to find you and to rise victorious with you to life with God. The psalm ends this way, in verse 24. The psalmist prays, "Lead me in the way everlasting." This is the way everlasting, to know God's love for you, experienced and displayed in Jesus Christ. This is the way everlasting to turn to Jesus, to follow him, to walk his path, to find life in his life and in his ways. This is the way everlasting. So this morning, know and remember that God knows you fully, and he loves you completely. And commit or recommit to follow Jesus in the way of life everlasting. And as you do, may the Lord more and more comfort the great ache of your heart as you know and experience that you are fully known and completely loved by him. And my prayer for y'all here in Jackson, my prayer for Church of the Incarnation in Memphis is, as we walk this way as a church, as a community, may more and more people in Jackson and in Memphis find comfort, hope, and peace in Christ alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.